Everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here on ITRWrestling.com. It's a Saturday night, it's 9 p.m. You're either getting, well, you're not getting ready to go out at all. You're getting ready to continue to stay in, because that's what the world has dealt you that card this year. My name is Kenny, and I didn't mean to start on this much of a downer, and I'm here with Sandra.
This is life now. This is life now. This is what we do.
Do you know what is the worst phrase, and I hate it so much, is the new normal.
I know how much that bothers
you. Fuck the new
normal.
But
I mean, it's you. Well, I'm not a huge fan of the new normal, but I would prefer the new normal. I would prefer if people could just come to some sort of consensus about the new normal instead of pretending that the pandemic doesn't exist, so that it just continues to happen for so much longer. Anyway,
I would prefer if it was like the new temporary normal, because the new normal makes it sound like this is it forever. And you know, I just, do you know how much? A year ago today, the ITR crew were in, we're doing the Bret Hart tour, and like, uh-huh, the photo popped up today, and I was like, oh my god, I miss touring, I miss going to travel lodges and the banter and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, one day it will return, but it just doesn't look like it's gonna be anytime soon, and it's really shit.
It doesn't look like it's gonna be anytime soon, and we will, you know, figure out life until then. No, it sucks, because like, I've never met your dog. I've never met Hulk, because you got Hulk after the Chris Jericho tour of 2018. I think you, because when did, what month, I know that you'll know this, like, what month did you welcome Hulk into your life?
I got Hulk in November of 2018.
Okay. I was thinking it was like fall, winter time. So I wasn't like super far off, but I wouldn't have been able to like pinpoint the month. But I haven't been to the UK since then. So I've never even gotten to pet Hulk. And I love him. He's like my dog nephew from afar.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, like, I would like to actually pet him. I mean, granted, I'm also allergic to dogs. So like, the petting has to take place in like, you know, like,
controlled
I'll
environment.
Pet him and then wash my hands a lot. But I can do that. I feel like I've been preparing for this pandemic like forever, because I love animals and I pet them, but I can't like touch my face after I pet them. So at least okay, that's like prepared me for some of this.
Because he turned two recently. And you'll probably meet when he's three. The good thing about Hulk is that Hulk has pretty much been the same dog the whole time. So like, when you meet him, it's not like when you meet him it's gonna be like, oh, remember when he used to be, he's part human, part dog, and he will remain that way until you, what's funny is also, we obviously can't say who, but like, there was an Inside the Ropes tour ready to be announced, it has been signed, and it was going to be announced the Monday after the pandemic, it was supposed to take place, you know, this past summer, and mm-hmm, we couldn't do it, and you were going to be coming over for that.
Yeah, I was going to be coming over for that. Like, I hadn't booked a flight, but I had like searched flights and was like about to message you to book one when the pandemic mm-hmm hit. Like, because we were talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a good thing. It's a good thing we didn't announce it like 2 days sooner than we were planning to announce it. Cause it was literally a matter of days that mm-hmm we were planning on announcing it. And it like,
because like,
everything's just nuts.
There was the, you know, the unfortunate stuff with Edge in 2018, where we had to basically, you know, reschedule that twice. And then there was the uh-huh Undertaker thing where we had to change that. So it was like, if I have to go the rest of my life without having to reschedule something, I will be a happy man.
Right.
But the good thing is that there are multiple tours that we have spoken to people and who are up for doing that are essentially like goers. It's just we need to get through this first. So
we need to get through this first, and we need to be able to actually travel to the UK. I actually looked the other day just because I was curious, like, to see if flights were available to the UK. And, like, technically I could purchase one right now. But would I get, like, how does that work? Would I get stopped at customs?
No, you could come here. Like, even though you're not supposed to, you could just come.
Oh, okay.
Because I shouldn't be telling you this on air, but, like, the way that you could get around it is you could say that you're coming for work.
Right.
And there's not, I mean, you would be told that you should quarantine for 14 days when you get here. Uh-huh. But, I mean, there's nobody at the, as far as I'm aware, there's nobody, like, at the border saying you cannot enter.
Okay. I was kind of curious, because I know the UK is kind of like, hey, America, you're being real stupid. Maybe don't come here. And I understand that, because I understand that.
But, you know, we're obviously going to plug things later, but I should mention that Inside the Ropes magazine issue 2 is now available, print and digital, at InsideTheRopesMagazine.com. Sondra, you contributed this month. What did you contribute to the magazine?
I contributed an article, and I wrote about how much I think jobbers are important to the state of wrestling, and how I think that mid-card and lower-card characters should be revered, because they're my faves, and also I think that they are very important to, like, building the wrestling landscape. So that's what I wrote about. What did you write about, Kenny? Because I don't have my magazine yet, because I live in dumb America.
I wrote about the time that I was going on the Stu Bennett tour, and I was on the bus from Glasgow to Edinburgh, and I projectile vomited in the toilet of that bus, and then had to go, and then had to, well, I won't spoil it, but essentially, I was on stage with Wade Barrett, Stu Bennett, and I realized that I needed to vomit.
Mm-hmm.
So that story is in there.
I remember this not being a good day. I wasn't there, but I remember this not being a good day.
Very bad. Luckily, Stu Bennett was so sound about it, it was fine. Mm-hmm. We've also got.
I just felt so bad for you, because, I mean, it's awful feeling sick just in general, but then, like, having to be on stage, and yeah,
because, like,
it's not fun.
If you have a job, you can just phone in sick. But, like, I couldn't phone in sick. There was
no,
like, there was nobody. Even, like, now, I mean, now we have so much of a crew that, like, if something like that happened, there is ways that, like, our crew could do something. But this was in Ireland, so in Ireland at that point, it was basically just, like, I was flown over. Solely me. So there was no way to do it, and we were still trying to build the kind of Irish Inside the Rope shows. So the idea that I had no choice. I just had to do it. And I'm like, when I'm not well, I'm like the biggest pussy going. Like, I'm just like the total patient, and like, oh, when's it ever gonna get better? It's a cold. Calm down. Like, it's, you know, mm-hmm. But I, you know, I always.
But you are a hypochondriac to the extreme.
I am, very much so. If I have a sore throat, I think I've either got throat cancer or coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be a cold. But we've also in the magazine got a 6-page interview with Jerry the King Lawler that Finn did, which is, I've read it, it's epic. And it's really, like, it kind of spans the Lawler's career. You know, Finn asks him about the ramen noodle moonsault thing from earlier on this year, and Lawler gives a really interesting answer. Finn asks him about, like, the sexualization of women in the past and how they're now athletes and not sexualized like they were before. He talks about that, talks about his past feuds, talk about his relationship with Paul Heyman, talk about scripted promos, and yeah, so it's just a great issue. So much stuff going on. And
Roman Reigns looks so good on the cover.
Roman Reigns does look so good on the cover, and we've got a great,
I don't know why we're not hyping up the fact that this incredibly attractive gentleman is gracing the cover of the magazine
with his Universal Championship. And he's going to be there's basically a massive feature by Justin Henry about his heel turn, how it's, you know, something that's going to be really good for WWE and really good for him. So it's a great issue. I've done the interview for issue 3. I won't say who it's with, but the magazine cover and the pre-order starts on Monday. And also, which is very exciting news, I think I'm allowed to say it, is that issue 3 will actually be available, touch wood, I'm 99.9% sure it is, but available in select Barnes & Noble stores in the US.
And, that's really exciting.
And select Eason's stores in the Republic of Ireland, also some stores in Canada, some stores in Australia. So yeah, there's that, and then we're before you know it, we'll be working on issue 4, and you know, maybe in issue 4 there's going to be some sort of list of something of some kind.
There will be a list. You've just stressed me out because there will be a list.
Oh, you still not put in your thing, have you?
Of course not. Have you met me?
Yeah, I'll be shocked if you do, actually. Anyway.
No, I will do it. I will do it. But like,
let your voice be heard, Sandra.
Do you understand how ranking things is like my personal hell?
But you should absolutely check out the magazine. We've got really good kind of shipping rates now for the US and Canada and kind of worldwide. The digital copy is available if you are not that bothered about print. So there's also itrwrestling.com. We started this website 3 weeks ago. It's been going so well. Loads going on. We've got news, live results and analysis of Raw, NXT, AEW and SmackDown, and NXT UK actually. We've got interviews going up. We've got interviews so far with the guys behind WWE DVD UK, talking about kind of keeping media, physical media alive. Interview with Andy Quilden, the promoter of Rev Pro, a massive interview with Diamond Dallas Page from this past week. An interview with the MLW duo Marshall and Ross Von Erich, talking about their family roots and how they get on in the business today. An interview with Shaw Guerrero, coming off her being the announcer at the Deadly Game tournament. So that, columns, news, podcasts, we've got the Queen Street Posse up there, we've got What's Going Down with Finn and I, we've got the Power Slam podcast, the Great Debate video show is up there, where myself and Dan, first week was Hogan versus Austin, who's better, this week is ECW, is extremely crappy wrestling or Revolution. I think that's everything that goes on the website, so I just thought you should check those out now, because I know Sandra will obviously plug them at the end, but they deserved a little bit more of a plug this week.
They deserve some love. I mean, everybody's been working so hard on the website and on the magazine and on the things and all of the things happening. There's so much, but it's all really exciting stuff. And like, I mean, the feedback to Queen Street Posse that I've gotten has been brilliant. And so thank you to everyone who's gotten in touch to, like, I don't know, let me know that this is worth it and that we're doing a good job, because I really appreciate it, because, you know, like, it's a lot of work start new things.
We should mention Queen Street Posse was the highest listened to new podcast, highest listened to podcast full stop on itrwrestling.com this week. So congratulations. It proves that women can draw.
Women can draw. Thank you very much. No, that means the world to me. And it's, I love talking with Jen. Like every time that I, you know, am posting about how excited I am to talk with Jen, like I'm not just trying to promote it. Like she's just absolutely lovely. And we're having a blast. Like we're having a blast kind of figuring out our place in this here wrestling world and whatnot. So I couldn't be more thrilled.
Well, let's talk about a couple of news items before we talk about Dynamite and NXT this week and what we thought of the shows. Dave Meltzer had said this past week that Ronda Rousey will be returning at WrestleMania 37. That's what he's heard. There's been a further story, you can read it on itrwrestling.com, about the plan as of right now is to try to do Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey one-on-one. Now, bear in mind, Becky Lynch gives birth in December, but maybe she's going to be ready to go by March. What do you think of Becky versus Ronda? Is that a marquee match that you want to see?
Absolutely. I mean, if Becky Lynch wants to come back to the ring after giving birth, I mean, like that's not a lot of turnaround time. And that's going to be up to her. You know, if Becky Lynch decides not to come back or decides to wait a little while or, you know, like who knows how things are going to go, right? But if she's like, hey, I'm raring and ready to go and want to get back in the ring immediately, sure, absolutely, I would love to see Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch. It's the singles match that we wanted to see and never got, right? So I think it would be blockbuster. I think it would be amazing. And if it's Becky Lynch's return and it's Ronda Rousey's return to WWE, that sounds like it would sell some. I don't know if we're going to be able to sell tons of tickets. Like, the world is strange, but it will sell some network subscriptions and probably some tickets, because if they're going to have it in Florida, then I'm sure they're going to sell tickets to the show. It's a match that I would want to see for sure. The thing is, I haven't, like, missed Ronda Rousey actively in WWE. Like, I don't think the show suffers without her, but I think that she did add something cool when she was there. She's like that cool kind of special attraction that I really enjoy when she's there, but like I think the show can function without her, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I have missed her actively, but I think that the good thing about her not being there is it's given somebody like Asuka a shot to do more. But uh-huh. I think the thing about Ronda that I miss is that I think that there was a more serious element to the show that's not there anymore. But then that's coupled with also the fact we don't have Becky either, or Charlotte right now. There's a lot of women we don't have right now. But I think Ronda brought a lot to the table, and I would happily see her do a sort of female Brock Lesnar schedule. Like, I think that she'd be great at it. And she's had a lot of matches where, like, if it was any, I mean, remember that Nia Jax match at Money in the Bank? My God,
yeah,
so good. I mean, if you can do Becky, Ronda, and maybe Rock and Roman, Derby Dream. What a double
can
main
you
event.
Imagine what a like that? Main what a WrestleMania already.
Mm-hmm. Then comes the idea of how can I get into America to go to it? is it worth getting COVID to go to WrestleMania? The other thing I was going to ask you about was last night on SmackDown, we had the contract signing, or supposed contract signing, of Sasha Banks and Bayley for Hell in a Cell. And I don't know about you, but I thought, when I was once I finished the segment, I was thinking, finally, they have brought the fire again to this program. It's been missing for a few weeks, and they kind of gave you the backstory. They brought you into sort of like being rewarded for following their story over the years. And Bayley was a chicken shit who didn't sign the contract. But I really dug the segment. Did this get you excited for their Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've already been excited for their Hell in a Cell match, but I am more excited now. I liked the contract signing. I liked that they brought in their friendship, right? And Bayley just being a piece of shit who's like, you were going to turn on me. That look in your eye, that's, you know, you were always going to turn on our friendship and I beat you to it. And Sasha's just like, if I were going to turn on you, I would have done it ages ago. Like, I have no intention. I had no intention of turning on you. You're the one who's being a jerk right now. Bayley not wanting to sign the contract and stuff. I mean, I know that we just did with Roman Reigns have a, you know, I refuse to sign the contract until the last moment kind of thing. But I don't know, it's still working for me. I like it quite a bit. And it feels like there's real heat and real fire between these ladies. And I mean, you know that my favorite match of all time is Bayley versus Sasha Banks. It's not a secret. I don't want to expect this match to be that, because this is a completely different world and circumstances and a completely different story. But I mean, they can have awesome matches together. They work together so well. And I'm really looking forward to Hell in a Cell. And it feels like this needs Hell in a Cell too, right? Especially after the disqualification last week on SmackDown. So it makes sense that they would want to fight inside a big cage where anything goes.
Yeah, I'm so into it now. Because the thing is, you don't feel like this is going to be one and done. You feel like it's going to go. So how can they extend it? How can they do something to keep it going? But I mean, at the same time, Daniel Bryan was facing Randy Orton in October, and they still headline WrestleMania with Batista the next year. So it mm-hmm. is possible they can keep the story going. They just need to give us more twists and turns along the way. But
yeah, exactly.
Steve Gunn actually had a very good bit of trivia when we were watching this. He said, do you know that Mercedes Martinez, she shares the real first name of Bayley and the real first name of Sasha and the real last name of Bayley? Because Sasha's first name is Mercedes and mm-hmm. Bayley's surname is Martinez.
That is true.
So Mercedes Martinez brings it all together in gimmick form.
See, and that's why she's the perfect human.
Okay, let's move on to AEW and NXT this week. What show do you want to talk about first, Sandra?
Can we talk about the New Day for just a second?
Yes, okay, so we should mention the New Day's promo from last night. Very emotional. They then got a win over Nakamura, Cesaro, and Sheamus. I assume that you were a ball of a mess.
I was a ball of a mess, especially because the Bar got back together, Keddy. Like, it was the Bar versus the New Day, and Shinsuke Nakamura was also there. I loved it. Like, when I saw the new, because I switched on SmackDown like about 8:15 or so, because I was doing some other stuff. And then I saw the New Day come out and I was like, I thought you guys got drafted. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we having like, why are you just extending this goodbye for me? But I thought it was really sweet that they got to have a last match. I was a little bit on edge because I was like, oh no, what if they actually have friendship and not prevail? What if they have Biggie Langston break up with them? Like, in a mean way, just to break my heart even more into a million pieces. But I thought the match was great. Of course, it was awesome because they work really well together. And, you know, Big E's promo about how sad he was to leave the New Day, and they got to hug in the ring and they were crying and I was crying, and it was beautiful. And friendship prevailed, even if they have to be apart for a while. Distance is hard, but it'll be okay.
So does that mean that you missed Triple H singing Super Freak by Rick James?
Wait, that happened?
Mm-hmm. In the opening segment.
Wow.
It was a thing that happened.
That sounds like something. I saw a couple of tweets about how Triple H and Stephanie opened the show, but I didn't really look into it.
Yeah, they were just hyping up the season premiere, the new roster. It was pretty good. So, but yeah, I actually thought the show overall last night was really good. I really liked. I mean, it's not for me because I don't know who they are, but like I actually really liked the Fox pundits saying loads of stuff, because I was like, it just makes it feel like Fox really care about what's going on. And
I was a bit bummed that that one man is called Rob Stone, and when Michael Cole was like, we're going to Rob Stone, and I was like, Robert Stone is here? But then it wasn't the good one.
It wasn't the one you were hoping for.
Exactly.
So what do you want to talk about first, AEW Dynamite or NXT?
Let's talk about AEW first. I sort of missed parts of AEW on Wednesday because I was watching it live, but I was also like in the middle of doing some other stuff. But I thought it was a pretty decent show. I'm more excited to talk about NXT, so I kind of want to finish with that.
I thought the show was decent enough. I didn't think it was. For like a 1 year anniversary show, I think you had very big high expectations. I don't quite know if it was as high as I'd hoped, but
well, especially with like all the titles were on the line, and it felt going into AEW, like with how much they had promoted beforehand, it felt like that show was going to be huge, right? Like it was going to be so epic because we have like all the titles, like including the world title on the line, and it was all right.
It was a decent show. I think it was one of those ones where if it wasn't advertised as an anniversary show, I'd have probably said it's a really good show, but it was just because it had been so hyped. We opened the show with FTR and Best Friends, the tag titles. Obviously, FTR get the win in the end, but what did you make of the match? Did they deliver?
I mean, I think they did. I liked it. I thought it was fun. FTR are great. I am a fan of Best Friends. It was a very good wrestling match. I don't know how much more I have to say about it. I thought the shenanigans with Tully Blanchard were pretty fun. Like Best Friends kind of going after him and trying to get retribution for Tully always kind of interfering in FTR's matches and stuff. And it does seem like FTR are cheating their way to wins quite often, even though they are like the best because they're awesome. But
I do kind of love that though. Like the idea that like, oh, we're the best, but we always need help from Tully Blanchard to win.
It's kind of a great little story detail, right? Because, like, do you think we could get Tully Blanchard in a shark cage?
I mean, stranger things have happened. Why not?
But doesn't it seem like that's what they're building to? Like, Tully Blanchard has to be, like, removed from the match? I mean, if he's in a shark cage, maybe don't put him above the ring because he'll just drop something into the ring. Like, we know how this goes. Yeah. Maybe they could suspend him in a shark cage or, like, put him in, I don't know, a cell, like, up where the crowd should be, but there's not much of a crowd because COVID. I don't know. I'm thinking of wacky shenanigans because AEW seems to be tending toward more like jokey skit stuff and wacky shenanigans lately. Have you noticed this?
I have. And I'm like, sometimes I think it really works, and with other people, I don't think it works that well. Like, I think FTR should not really, like, I hate the weenie stuff and the hot dog stuff. And I think part of that is meant to be like a rib on the WWE stuff. I'm like, I just don't think that lands enough. I think some people just think that's what you're seriously trying to present. And I think that's where it kind of falls down. Do you know what I mean? It was like when Brody Lee was doing his Vince McMahon stuff. It's like, if you get that he's trying to be Vince, then that's the gag. But if you don't get that he's trying to be Vince, you're kind of like, what's going on?
So, well, and it wasn't like that funny to begin with. So even if you know that he's trying to be Vince, it's like, I feel like you're trying a little too hard.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I felt about the hot dog, you know, photos with FTR and all that kind of stuff. I thought this is a really good match, though. I thought Best Friends did really well. And FTR rightfully were the victors. And we saw Miro run in afterwards and with Penelope Ford. They're trying to beat them down. We end up getting Miro and Kip Sabian against Sean Maluta and Lee Johnson. And we did actually cover a lot about Miro on our Overrun on Patreon, patreon.com/insideropes. But for those who didn't hear, we're kind of struggling to get on board with Miro in AEW, right?
Yeah, we kind of are. He just feels like a dude. And I don't know, like he's starting to try to bring more intensity, I guess. And I guess his whole, I feel like everything he's doing right now is kind of in response to WWE too, right? Like he's swearing on television and that's supposed to be like, oh my gosh, look, I'm out of my WWE cage prison where I couldn't swear and now I can swear and I can do what I want. But I mean, like we said on the overrun, I just don't buy that he is best friends with Kip Sabian. I don't know why that is a thing. I don't really understand that partnership. And like it can work, you know, I've seen unlikely tag teams come together and become awesome. Witness the Bar that I got really excited about a reunion on SmackDown. But I don't know, like he just kind of feels like a dude to me. And I would like for him to do more than just be a dude.
Yeah, I feel like if this was in WWE, there would be a lot more slating of it than there is at the moment.
I think people still want to have hope and want to like give it goodwill, and I want to give it goodwill too. Like
yeah,
I do.
I think it's more just like yeah, like I don't understand. Like so, Miro and Kip Sabian are supposed to be pals. Why? How are they friends? Like, give us a backstory as to how they're pals. Because otherwise, I'm just kind of going. I mean, it's not as bad as Matt Hardy with Private Party, but it's not far off in terms of like really though. Like
no, I'd say it's about on par with that. To be honest.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't buy their pals. Why? Like, because the thing is, Kip Sabian only moved to America last year when Miro was in WWE. So mm-hmm. How are they pals?
I have no idea.
When you start
because
to,
plot,
when you start
I guess.
To ask questions and it gets more, like, more implausible, then it's not a good sign. Although my favorite segment of the show was MJF and Chris Jericho. MJF giving Sammy Guevara the jacket five sizes too big. MJF wanting to join the Inner Circle. Jericho hating Animal Planet. And Jericho and MJF are going to be going for a steak dinner next week. Like, I just loved this so, so much. It was just like, you know, sometimes when you're watching wrestling and you're just like, oh, I can relax now because it's these two. And like, it's going to be good. I don't even need to worry about it. But I wonder, did this land for you? Because it was very outlandish comedy.
It was very outlandish comedy. I mean, it is funny. I think these segments for me, because we keep seeing them, they're always good, but I think they go on a little bit too long, maybe. Like, maybe you could repeat yourself like a few fewer times. I don't know. But I am really enjoying it. And I think the sort of weird, like, friendship, not friendship, will they, won't they, of Chris Jericho and MJF is a lot of fun. Like, whether Chris Jericho is going to let MJF in the Inner Circle, whether MJF is actually going to ask to be in the Inner Circle. Because MJF was like, I want to touch your hair, right? And Chris Jericho was like, you want to touch my hair? He's like, I want to touch your hair. And it's like, he's actually asking to do a thing, but he won't ask to be in the Inner Circle. They're brilliant, right? Like, their comedy is a lot of fun. I am very excited for their steak dinner.
And the other thing is, like, I mean, I don't know, but I assume the way this is being built is not that we're going to be getting MJF versus Jericho at Full Gear. Well, this feels like a long storyline where they're going to be a team.
Like Full Gear would be way too soon for us to get MJF versus Jericho.
But then the other part of this I was thinking about, so say MJF joins the Inner Circle, right? Which, by the way, the segments, I'm so here for. I'm like smiling just thinking about it.
We have that like sort of seated drama between Sammy Guevara and MJF because MJF hates Sammy Guevara and keeps like pretending not to hate him, but then gets him a jacket that's five sizes too big and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So like,
but here's the other one.
That's a lot of fun.
The other thing that we've not even thought about is that, so say you've got the Inner Circle and you've got Hager and Wardlow.
Yeah.
Because if you notice the positioning of how they stood, they were both like at the exact same bit of the ring but opposite sides. And I feel like that's not a coincidence. Like, that's definitely going to be. And I feel like Wardlow, I mean, he has done really well whenever he's been in the ring. Like, he mm-hmm. has been really good. And they've actually been really good about how they've not had him in the ring too much and had him just be like another guy. Like, he's kind of
he's one of those dudes that you think is just going to be like, okay, well, he's big, he's impressive looking with MJF.
I've seen him before.
Is he going to be able to like do the wrestling too? And then every time he does the wrestling, it's like, oh, this guy's really great.
Mm-hmm. He nails it. So, you know, the idea that we could, you know, because you could get an MJF and Wardlow against Hager and Jericho feud, all this kind of stuff. And then also, that means that say this goes 6 months, right? Which I think it has got a possibility that it could. Then after that, you've still got the kind of MJF Wardlow feud down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I
there are so many stories that can come out of this. Like, it's really, it's great stuff. And I think we're still very much in the early stages of it, which is great, right? Because we want to have extended storytelling. This is a sequential art form. So I'm here for it.
Then we had, I don't know why this popped me so big, but Tony Schiavone getting a spa treatment with Britt Baker was like my everything.
Was great. It was so funny. I love their weird friendship. Like, Tony Schiavone and Britt Baker are just great together. They're just awesome, right? And Tony Schiavone, like, her just being like, are you naked? Why are you naked right now? And it's like, well, if you're gonna get a massage, that's what happens. And her wanting him to, like, wax his chest and stuff. It was,
and then you get,
it
like,
was quite humorous.
And then you get, like, the 40-year-old virgin moment where when he's getting his chest waxed, he's just, like, screaming. Mm-hmm. It was sensational. Like, Britt Baker in the ring, she's fine, but Britt Baker, the character, when she's doing character stuff, I'm like, she's the best woman they've got. Then we got Cody versus Orange Cassidy. Cody's back to being a blonde, thank the Lord.
I mean, it's weird, right? Like, it's weird that his brown hair felt kind of off-putting. I don't know if you felt this way about the brown hair.
It's like if you have a friend who dyes their hair blonde, you're like, okay, freak. But now you're like, oh, thank God he's dyed it by blonde. So, like, it's so
weird because we saw him with brown hair for years and years and years because that's his natural hair color. So I don't know why it just felt so wrong on him, but it kind of did. And when I saw that he was back to blonde, I was like, I did feel a little bit comforted.
It's a very strange world that we live in. So we got Cody versus Orange Cassidy for the TNT title. Very, very sort of competitive back and forth match. We've got a Dark Order trying to get involved. They got ejected by the referee. The whole, you know, this whole match is Arn's kind of. There was a point where, like, what was it? Cody did something, and then Arn like shouted at him for doing the wrong thing or something. And like, I just thought
he was very much like being the coach on the outside.
Yeah, and then it's like, so it's a 20-minute match, and you know, Justin Roberts says there's 5 minutes remaining, and they're going back and forth, and then Orange Cassidy like has Cody, and the time limit expires, and you know, it's like 1 second out of the count, so it was a draw. I thought this was great. This was just like a great way to have Orange Cassidy look really competitive, look really good. Cody didn't have to lose the title, but Orange Cassidy didn't lose anything. I think as much as like the Miro thing I didn't like, and I'm about to bury their women's division in about 5 minutes. But before,
well, I think they bury their women's division enough on their own, but yeah, they can add to the pile.
But before that, I think one of the things that AEW do tremendously is they don't cop out in their matches. You get the match, and there's a winner or a loser, or there's a draw. And that's kind of what you get. You don't really get a double DQ that often or anything like that. So I like that. I like that if there's a match, you know that there's going to be an outcome. And I think they found a clever way here to give you an outcome, but also make everybody look good. I'm curious if this worked for you, being the biggest Orange Cassidy fan inside the ropes.
Oh my gosh, I loved this match. I thought it was great. This was a proper Orange Cassidy match too, right? Like, it started with a lot of jokey shenanigans at the beginning. And I was kind of curious how you would respond to that, because it was like, I think Orange Cassidy was being more Orange Cassidy here than we've seen recently, because with Jericho, he got so serious, right? Because they were fighting. And this was more like, he's going to do his shenanigans. Cody wanted him to do a collar and elbow tie-up, and they built to a collar and elbow tie-up, and I popped for it. I was like, oh my gosh, they actually locked up. Orange Cassidy's never locked up with anyone in AEW. And that just sort of highlights what I love about wrestling, because you can build expectation for anything as long as you do it well and as long as the person doing it makes sense and is charismatic. So, like, I loved Orange Cassidy just, like, looking like he was going to lock up with Cody and just putting his hands in his pockets, and Cody's frustration was evident, but because Cody's still a babyface and still like a good dude, he didn't get like super mean about it or anything. And I mean, Orange Cassidy is just like a fantastic wrestler too. Like, he's fantastic. You know how much I love him. I could sing the praises of Orange Cassidy all day. But this is what I like about AEW having time limits on their matches and having draw be an option, is that it gives you another story to tell. Like, I remember JR saying that on his podcast ages ago, is it gives you another finish and it gives you another story to tell. And like we saw with Cody and Darby Allin when they went to a draw, This builds for more Cody versus Orange Cassidy in future, and I am 100% here for it. I actually want Orange Cassidy to be the one to beat Cody, and I think I've said that on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just because I want him to carry a belt in a backpack again? Maybe. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I would really like to see him carry a belt in a backpack again. But I also think he's one of the biggest stars on the show. I think he's one of the most over dudes on the show. And I think that would be a different direction and a different story to tell if they can recapture some of the glory of his independent wrestling championship, which I think they can, because they're basically just like letting Orange Cassidy be Orange Cassidy. I think that would be brilliant. And it could, you know, give Cody something else to do. So yeah, like I don't think I want to see this rematch like next week or anything, but do you think they're going to do Cody versus Orange Cassidy again at Full Gear?
Well, no, we're getting Cody and Orange Cassidy again in 2 weeks.
Oh, are
because,
we? Okay.
Because they announced during this match that whoever is the TNT champion is going to be facing Darby Allin at Full Gear.
Oh, that's right, because they had Darby Allin just like sitting in the crowd sulking.
Yeah. So, but you know, that's also that raises more questions. Is Orange Cassidy going to win it? I would be more inclined to go with Cody and Darby and have Darby win it at Full Gear, but I wouldn't be mad either. I think there's.
I think Cody and Darby is actually a really good story too, because Darby, like, Cody's the one that Darby hasn't been able to beat. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so that story is still out there. So yeah, like, I wouldn't be mad about that. I basically just want Orange Cassidy to win the world. Let's be honest.
And I think he will.
I think he will. But I also like, I love Darby Allin too. So if he could be TNT champion for a while, I think that could be pretty fun.
It's not a coincidence that most of the time, Cody, MJF, and Jericho stuff and Britt Baker tend to be the best stuff on the show, and Orange Cassidy stuff. So, then we had Hikaru Shida versus Big Swole for the AEW Women's Championship. It was dire, absolutely dire. Like, there's something I want to say, but I'm not going to say it. But like, yeah, put it this way. If this is the women's division, it stayed on Dark, I wouldn't be annoyed, because I just don't have any interest in watching this. There's no story, there's no characters, there's no good wrestling. What the fuck are you? What is the hook here to this women's division? It is so dire.
There isn't one.
And it's like, like the opposite show that we watch that we're going to be talking about after this is like a stacked women's division. So it's like it's like going somewhere. And you want a burger, like you want a cheeseburger, and it's like going somewhere where there's like lettuce in a bun, and then going somewhere where you get like a double patty with cheese and bacon and sauce burger.
I mean, now you're just making me hungry.
And the latter one is the NXT Women's Division, and the bun with the lettuce is this.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like lettuce that's gone off because it's been in the fridge for 3 days too long.
It's got the brown bit on it.
Yeah, exactly, and it's like kind of slimy. Yeah, this was bad. I didn't enjoy it at all. And we've seen Hikaru Shida have like really good matches with people who are like so-so in the ring, right? Like Hikaru Shida versus Penelope Ford, I thought was awesome and significantly better than this. It sucks because I like Big Swole. Like, I do like her. I don't think she's great in the ring, and she's kind of annoying me now because it seems like Big Swole is moving into a feud with Penelope Ford, at least online she is. And her whole thing is just calling Penelope Ford a hussy, which I super don't appreciate. So the bloom is a bit off the rose with Big Swole for me right now, which sucks because I think that she can be great. Like, she can be a great character. She can be very charismatic. Like, I've seen her live and she's a lot of fun live. But this was bad, and I would really prefer that AEW actually build contenders for their women's division, and I would prefer that they build contenders who can have good wrestling matches for their women's division. I don't understand what they're doing, and it just kind of seems to be like, all right, this person's facing Shida now. We're putting Shida on TV, so now you're happy, right? And I'm like, no, I'm not happy. This tiny little table scrap of a women's division is not enough for me. Witness NXT. Witness what's happening over there. Witness how people are fully formed people and characters and have stories and motivations, and the title actually matters and is the best title in all of WWE. And then you have AEW where it's like, oh yeah, I guess we have to let the ladies wrestle for 5 minutes or whatever. I know that this wasn't 5 minutes, but
I wish it was.
It would have been, I know.
Fuck
it's
me.
So bad.
Yeah.
And it's fair.
And it's like, yeah, Big Swole's nice. So is the woman who works at the stationery shop down the road. Doesn't mean she should be wrestling on TV. Like,
especially not for the championship. I think that Big Swole in like a lower card, mid card thing right now, like while she improves and gets better and that kind of stuff, I think that's fine. I think Big Swole versus Britt Baker was actually quite fun.
But that was a cinematic
match. But it doesn't mean
match.
That she should be at the championship match.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was dire. So, all the titles on the line. I mean, get more women. Get good women.
There are so many good women out there. That's what I don't understand. Like, there are so many good wrestlers who are women that you could be putting in this division, and you're just not. And for the company that's like, oh, we want to be inclusive and we want to show, you know, marginalized people that they are seen, and we're going to have a club where you can pay to be a lady and be a wrestling fan. Maybe just put your women on TV and I would take you a little bit more seriously, and maybe hire people who can wrestle better and have a proper division. And I don't know, like, cut 5 minutes off of MJF versus Jericho, or cut 5 minutes off some of the jokey skit stuff that you do, and actually have women be people.
The problem is that the women that they've got are not good enough to merit taking 5 minutes off that other stuff. That's the problem. Because
Sheeta's good enough.
Yeah, but who else? Sheeta.
Well, that's the problem. Well, where's Nyla Rose?
So apparently Nyla Rose on Dark is building the idea she wants a rematch with Sheeta. So
I would love for her to have a rematch with Sheeta. Could we maybe see her on Dynamite for like 2 seconds?
It would be something. Well, listen, we'll probably have an aneurysm if we keep talking about this. But in the main event of the show was Jon Moxley taking on Lance Archer for the AEW World Championship. They have a pretty epic kind of back and forth match. It was a big fight, big hoss fight throughout. And in the end, Archer looks like he's got it in the bag, but Moxley reverses into a crucifix and gets the win. Archer then beats Moxley up afterwards, and this allows Eddie Kingston and Lucha Brothers to come out, and it appears that we're kind of heading towards Kingston and Moxley. What did you make of the match and the direction of going with Kingston and Moxley as, I'm guessing, the Full Gear match?
I liked the match. I didn't like it quite as much as their New Japan match, but I still thought they worked well together, and they're very good at brawling, and it became no disqualification because of course it did, because it was Jon Moxley versus Lance Archer, so they have to use weapons and things. I think it's like the law. So yeah, like I enjoyed it, and I am happy that Jon Moxley retained. There wasn't really any part of me that thought that Lance Archer was going to win. So I guess some of the drama was gone for me there. And I did watch the show live. I didn't even see spoilers or anything. But I like going with Eddie Kingston versus Jon Moxley. It almost makes me wish that we hadn't seen Eddie Kingston versus Jon Moxley before, so that we could build to it and have it be a little bit more of a mystery. But also, I was really happy to see Eddie Kingston versus Jon Moxley that one time, so I don't want to complain about it. I love Eddie Kingston with all of my heart, and I would really like to see that match again, because I thought it was super good the first time. And I like what's going on here. I don't know, the world title feud has become not the thing I'm most interested in on the show, I guess. Like, I'm kind of more into the TNT title right now.
It's interesting you say that.
I think they're doing a good job.
It's interesting you say that. I also liked the match, that it was good. It wasn't as good as the New Japan match in January, but it was decent, and it was a way for...
Did you see the New Japan match in January?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did you watch that one? Oh,
yeah,
okay, cool.
Yeah, and I liked it. I thought it was good. I didn't think this one quite had the epicness of the New Japan match, but I thought this one was still good. I thought that Archer actually didn't really lose anything in defeat, so I like that. But I hope they have some plan for him going forward. But I've got to say, with the King, and I like Eddie Kingston. I don't have the hard on for him that everybody else seems to have, but I do like him. But like, going into Full Gear, you know, if you look at what we've got like, next week there's a number one contendership 4-way for the tag titles, so like, we're probably going to have FTR and the Young Bucks, we're going to have MJF and Jericho doing something together against somebody, no doubt, we're going to have Cody or Orange Cassidy against Darby, we're going to have you know, all this stuff going on, and it's just like, Moxley and Kingston is like the bottom of the list of what I'm interested in out of all of them. And I,
other than who's facing Hikaru Shida, right?
It depends who it is, to be honest. If it's like,
is
Sunny,
anybody going to be facing a Hikaru Shida?
If it's like Sunny, then I'm in. Like, bring bring Sunny back. Jailhouse Sunny match. I like Moxley and Kingston. I just feel like, I don't know, I feel the world title match should feel like a big deal. But I will say, we've got about 3 weeks now, I think, to Full Gear. You know, if what people love about Eddie Kingston is true, then he is going to talk me into this match in the next 3 weeks. So
yeah, I feel like he will.
But yeah, I thought overall Dynamite was good. I just think that it lacked something to be a big anniversary show. It was like there needs to be like one big surprise and a women's match that didn't belong on developmental.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, before we talk about NXT, though, I do obviously want to let you guys know we've still got the Beer 52 offer going. Do not worry, do not fret. Free beer is still available if you live in the UK. We have an offer with Beer 52. We can get 8 free beers. All you need to do to get those 8 free beers is pay the postage cost of £5.95, and you just go to beer52.com/ITR. Beer 52 are a brilliant company in the UK. They're the world's most popular craft beer discovery club. Over 150,000 members. You get a brand new case every month. It's got light beers or dark beers, whatever your preference is. Beers from the US, Europe, Africa, everywhere else in between. And you can sign up today. And if you do change your mind, you can pause or cancel your account at any time. So just go to beer52.com/ITR. That's beer52.com/ITR. So let's get on to NXT. Before we actually talk about NXT, I just want to give one quick note. I did check something out that was different this week, and I really want to recommend it to everybody. The main event of NXT UK this week was phenomenal, and I could not recommend it enough.
I saw you tweet about this. I haven't watched it yet, but I do really want to.
And like, if I'm tweeting about an empty arena match on NXT UK, like...
That's why I was kind of like, wow, this must be like really good, because... You don't normally watch NXT UK, and then if you do watch NXT UK, it normally doesn't excite you or incite you to like tweet about it.
Exactly.
Specifically.
But I
so that's like... I mean that's great for them that they're doing so well. I've actually heard a lot of positive feedback about NXT UK.
Yeah, and I saw like three different people who are like very different types of wrestling fans tweeting about that match, and I was like, okay, I'll check it out. I'll see what's going on, and I loved it. I thought it was great. Ilya Dragunov is the number one contender to Walter, and it's superb. Well worth checking out. But anyway, let's move on to NXT. Lots going on this week. We opened up the show with Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch taking on Undisputed Era's Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish for the number one contendership to the tag team titles. Undisputed Era in the end got the win. I mean, were you able to enjoy it even though your lads got defeated?
I was able to enjoy it even though my lads got defeated. I knew spoilers to this show before I watched it because I didn't get to watch it until yesterday, and they still had me like biting for near falls and things throughout. There were multiple matches on the show where I was like biting for near falls, even though I knew the outcome of the match, which I think is a good sign, right? Like, I enjoyed the hell out of this match. I thought it was great. I'm disappointed in the outcome. I'm not surprised by the outcome, but I am disappointed in the outcome because Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch forever, obviously we know this. But yeah, I mean, seeing Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Undisputed Era again, it's a different combination of Undisputed Era than the show that, you know, we saw in Chicago, but it's kind of fun to revisit those feelings a little bit. And they just work so well together. Like, there are so many submissions and transitions and Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch trying to go for the double submission near the end of the match. And I just, my heart was just full of love for wrestling during this one. And Undisputed Era versus Breezango is going to be good. I hope that Breezango wins. I hope that they win so badly, but I don't know, because it's kind of weird to see Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong kind of be the tag team of Undisputed Era now. They've kind of shifted a little bit, right? So I don't really know why that decision was made exactly. And I don't know why they have matching trunks now and nobody else does, but I don't know. I loved this match. I was super into it the whole time.
I was thinking of you during it, because I was thinking, oh god, is she going to be able to enjoy it? But this was good. This was good. Undisputed Era, I feel like nervous for Breezango next week.
I'm very nervous for Breezango next week.
But looking forward to the match. I think it should be pretty good. We find out that Finn Balor's jaw surgery is happening. We get some footage, or pictures. And then William Regal says he's going to get
it. It looked so nasty. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, it looks bad. She said that Regal's going to give the surgery a few weeks to decide what he's going to do with the NXT title. Hopefully he can come back and it doesn't end up being what it was before. But Sondra, I'm excited to talk about something this week.
I mean, Drew McIntyre could wrestle with a broken jaw, right? Why can't Finn Balor?
I know, what a pussy. The thing I want to talk about is, welcome to NXT Ember Moon. She arrived this week. This was the promo that I needed from her. This was so good. This was so much better than last week's promo. I loved this. It was real. She was a badass. She laid out like her mission statement, why she was here. I loved this.
I loved it too. I thought it was great. I love her being like, hey, I didn't want to be in the draft. I wanted to be in NXT because I like NXT better. Because
it's the best women's division in all of wrestling.
And she's not wrong. Like, I mean, well, there are other, like, you know, Shimmer's pretty awesome too. But yeah, like, I mean, NXT is killing it with their women's division. Like, they're way more interesting than the dudes, which is great. Right? Like, I love seeing all the women be awesome on the show. They're the thing I'm most interested in because they're the best. It's awesome. I think Ember Moon fits better in NXT. I think her main roster run, like, I struggle to remember much of it because I don't think it was very epic at all. I think they missed the boat with her, like, being able to actually use her skills and make her into an important person. And then she got hurt and she's been gone for so long. I don't know. She feels like she's back and she's on fire and she's raring to go. And I'm here for it. Like, I think building to Ember in a championship match at some point is a great idea. She wants gold. That's what she said, right? That's why she's here.
Yeah. This was a real step in the right direction. And she laid out a really good mission statement.
And there's still that like lingering story with Ember Moon that she only won the title before because Asuka like gave it up. So I do want her to like get a proper win where she defeats someone who has been the champion for a while, and she can kind of gloat about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of stories they can tell. I wasn't going to mention Evelyn on the show, but I assume that you do want me to mention that Jake Atlas got his win over Ashanti the Adonis, and then post-match it looks like we're basically seeing Isaiah Swerve Scott and Jake Atlas maybe taking on Legado del Fantasma, which yeah. I assume that you'd be a big fan of.
Of course I'm a big fan of it. Like, Jake Atlas versus Ashanti was not like, I don't know, it's not built super like huge as a thing, but I like it as like a lower card program. And then like I love Legado del Fantasma, like, you know how I feel about them. I'm a big fan.
I find it really difficult to accept that Ashanti is named Ashanti. It's very difficult for me to shake this.
I'm really trying. Because you just think of the
singer. I'm trying to shake it out of my head. But we had lots more stuff on the show. We had Johnny Gargano taking on Austin Theory on the show. He got the big win. Austin Theory did look more competitive in this one, but this was just a big win for Gargano. So he seems to be, is there more that you want to see Gargano do in NXT? There's my question for you.
I don't know if I can think of anything specifically that I want to see Gargano do in NXT, but I think with the new character direction of Johnny Gargano right now, and there's a hell of a lot more I want to see Candice do in NXT now, so I kind of prefer that he stay if there's not like a big plan for him on the main roster and like big planned feuds, because it seems like Johnny Gargano can embed himself into stories and still be very useful there. I loved this match, and I am not an Austin Theory fan. Like, we've talked about how Austin Theory is just this like big blank slate of creator wrestler to me in a lot of ways, but he is very, very good. And like in the match, this was another one where he had that near fall on Johnny Gargano, and like I knew that Johnny Gargano won, right? Because I had read through the NXT results, and still I was like, oh my gosh, did I read it wrong? Is Austin Theory gonna win? And I was like jumping out of my chair for it. And if a match gets me that into it when I know the end and I'm not that into one of the wrestlers, then I think I can give it nothing but praise. So yeah, like I like Johnny Gargano being here and just kind of like being smarmy dickhead heel man.
We also had Raquel Gonzalez was challenging Rhea Ripley for Halloween Havoc, and then Rhea Ripley kind of barges in. They're trash talking, so they are going to be fighting at Halloween Havoc, and I'm into this. Two big women who are just going to batter the shit out of each other. I'm here for
it. Do you understand how excited I am for this Lady Hoss fight? I'm so excited for this Lady Hoss fight. It's gonna be so good.
And it's one of the first
I
times
can't
that,
wait.
It's one of the first times that Raquel Gonzalez has not felt like Dakota Kai's bodyguard. Like, uh-huh. She feels like, oh, it's Raquel Gonzalez, it's her. She's the one that's
fighting. Like Sonya Deville on Super Soldier Serum. Like,
yes,
because they look the same.
They look so similar.
They really do. But I mean, maybe that's part of part of why I'm into Raquel Gonzalez, because obviously you know my feelings about Sonya Deville. But I think Raquel's been doing some really good work lately, because even though she has been a bodyguard, right? Like, she has basically been Dakota Kai's bodyguard. Every time we see her in the ring, she's good. Like, I don't think she's quite as like epic or surprising as Wardlow, but it's almost a similar situation where it's like, oh, she can hang. Like, she can definitely hold her own. And every time we get that Rhea Ripley, Raquel Gonzalez kind of face off, then I'm like, ooh, this is the match that I want to see. I want to see it so badly. And they've been teasing us with it and teasing us with it and teasing us with it. And we're finally going to get it. And I can't wait. And it's going to be really good. And it's a good way to keep Rhea Ripley away from the title scene for now, like until she eventually finds her way back there. But I think they're still using her as an effective character. And she feels like one of the biggest stars on the show. I love all of this.
Take note, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Then we had...
Did you know that if you make women into people, you can get some really good stuff?
But in a continuation of that, we saw Shotzi Blackheart taking on Candice LeRae for a title shot at Halloween Havoc. Candice was able to get the win over Shotzi. And so we're going to get Candice LeRae and Io Shirai again at Halloween Havoc. I'm hoping that match is going to be... epic, because obviously the second one they had wasn't quite as... I didn't love it as much as the first one, but I'm hoping the third one's going to pull me back in. What did you make of Candice being the choice to beat Shotzi and go on and face Io?
I'm a little surprised that we're going back to Candice versus Io already, but I'm not mad about it. I loved this match. I really loved this match. When Shotzi Blackheart came into NXT, I was already a big fan of her, obviously, but I thought like maybe her in-ring work wasn't quite there, or some of her matches like didn't land quite as well. I think she's absolutely stepping it up every time we see her now. And like, Shotzi versus Io was awesome. Shotzi versus Candice on the show was like my favorite thing. Like, everything about it was just amazing. Like, the entrances were so good. You have Shotzi in her Halloween tank that just comes straight from my spooky hopes and dreams. And you have Candice with her evil little pixie wings, and she's just an awful person who's pretending to be a pretty, pretty princess. And just like, the aesthetic of this match is 100% up my alley. And then they beat the shit out of each other, and it was great, right? Like, I loved this, and it felt like the number one contendership was something that they both wanted so badly. And I think Shotzi Blackheart being the host of Halloween Havoc, it makes sense that she wouldn't also be the number one contender. But I kind of want to see Shotzi versus Io again too. I wanted to see both matches. Like, there was no bad option here for Halloween Havoc and for Io Shirai's contender. And I loved this match with all of my heart. All of my heart. And it involved Indy Hartwell giving brass knuckles to Candice LeRae, who used them very sneakily to win over Shotzi Blackheart. So there were also shenanigans. And Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae's little like budding friendship alliance situation is something that I'm so into, right? Like, she got Candice a new TV, and now she's giving her brass knuckles. And Candice is just an awful person who's like, makeup is just on point, and I really love that she had lipstick on her. I love all of this. I love everything about it. And it's a really great way to bring Indy Hartwell into the fabric of NXT too, and introduce her as a character. So I think it's great storytelling. It's great wrestling. It's just, my heart is full of love for professional wrestling sometimes.
Everybody came out of it looking good. And yeah, it was nice to see Indy kind of get involved. I don't mind them going back to Candice and Io, because it feels like Shotzi is the long game build. So I feel good about it. And we also got Toni Storm winning what was essentially a squash match over Aaliyah. And she had a kind of vignette before. So it seems like they're kind of slowly reintroducing Toni Storm. And we've not really got anything yet. It feels like we're still kind of in the, here she is, here's what she can do in the ring. But I'm curious to see where she's going to fit in feud-wise, because I can't picture who it's going to be with yet. If Robert Stone had, I mean, maybe if Mercedes Martinez is back, maybe, you know, she goes back to the Robert Stone brand, maybe, you know, then we get Storm and Mercedes, maybe that's the way they go. But I'm curious to see what happens with Toni.
I mean, Storm and Mercedes could be really good. Toni Storm's like the one that I'm less interested in. Like, Ember's the big return for me. Toni Storm's just never really been like my fave. And I think her wrestling is fine, but I don't think she's like incredible. Because I feel like we talked about this when she was in the Mae Young Classic, how we just felt a little bit underwhelmed by some of the stuff, like when it was Tony versus Io, and that's kind of continuing. Like she's fun. She comes out and she looks like she'd be fun to hang out with, and she has that kind of like girl next door kind of punk aesthetic and stuff. And it's like, I want to like her.
We've just never seen her in a story yet. So we don't know what we're getting into.
We've never seen her in a story yet, and I don't think that her wrestling is, like, so epic that it really draws me in.
Which is fair.
That's probably unpopular, because I know that Toni Storm is very well-liked, but I don't know.
I think she's a good wrestler, but, like, for me, I just want to see the story stuff. That is one of the reasons why Ember Moon has never fully worked for me yet, because she's never really been a great story. Like, she's been around stuff. You know, I know you were talking
about her story with Asuka was great, I thought.
It was good, but I feel like in terms of, like, I've not seen her in enough... Like, Rhea Ripley's someone who I've seen in multiple stuff now where I'm kind of like, okay, like, you're really good at doing both. But again, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Ember this time. What's the rivalry going to be? What's the story going to be? But they're setting it up well with kind of her, you know, putting out a mission statement for the gold. We then later on in the show saw Imperium taking on Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, who had an interview earlier on where Drake Maverick wants their tag team name to be the Furry and the Fury. And Killian Dane, funnily enough, was not impressed with this name. And then they have the match, and of course, Drake Maverick ends up losing the match. Killian Dane is not happy. Then Ever-Rise come out. What do you make of this whole partnership with Dane and Maverick, and how did you feel about how this all played out?
A couple weeks ago, I thought that Drake Maverick was just a sad, sad story, and I was bummed that he was there and just constantly getting beaten up and constantly putting himself in harm's way. And in the span of a couple weeks, I have fallen completely in love with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. And I think they really advanced something here, because obviously Killian Dane was down on the outside and Imperium was able to get the win over Drake Maverick because, you know, divide and conquer is their whole thing. And I loved that, you know, Killian Dane, he's upset about Drake Maverick losing, and Drake's even like, no, don't hit me. Like, we've been here before. I know you're just going to beat me up and stuff. So then when Ever-Rise comes out to beat him up and Killian Dane like takes them both out with the clothesline and stuff, and he's like, nobody hits you but me. I was like, oh my gosh, they're pals. He's treating him like his little brother. And we are getting like, I mean, I think you said it last week, we're getting like proper rock star spud Drake Maverick, who's just over the top and ridiculous and pantomime and everything that we want him to be. I was upset with Killian Dane for cutting off their delightful music at the beginning too. And I keep wanting to call him Spud now. That's not okay. Drake Maverick wanting to do the dance and be like, no, we were gonna do the dance and we didn't even get to the whistle and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I want to hear your theme music. And so when it played at the end and Drake Maverick was trying to like do the dance, but he's still selling the beat down from Ever-Rise. He's just so good. I'm so happy to see him finally like be the Drake Maverick that we know and love.
It's a fun story, and it's good that it's giving Killian Dane something to do as well, because he is really good, and now he finally feels like he's starting to click in something. So, and he is, and
is the first time we've really seen him like feel like a thing, right?
Yeah.
Because even in Sanity, he just felt like part of Sanity.
Yeah, he was just part of Sanity. And I've been around him before. Like, he's a funny guy. So like, he will be able to play the comedy stuff off really well. Which leads us to the main event, which is Damian Priest taking on Dexter Lumis for the North American title. Commentary did tell us, because I was kind of like, why is this happening? But Dexter Lumis had earned the title shot for the North American title before his ankle injury, because he was supposed to be in the ladder match at TakeOver. And
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So I did like that they kind of brought that up, because otherwise I was like, okay, this is a bit strange. But of course Cameron Grimes showed up and he ended up costing Dexter Lumis the match. So Damian Priest retained. It seems that we're going more in towards and then post-match we saw Gargano attack Damian Priest, so it seems we're going back to that. But then William Regal comes out, he brings out Shotzi Blackheart, and Blackheart says that the Gargano's matches at Halloween will end up being spin the wheel matches as we close the show. So it's an interesting old school thing. Spin the wheel, obviously a famous Halloween Havoc gimmick that they're bringing back.
Is it basically like when they used to go to Vegas and have a wheel?
Yes, it's essentially the same thing. But like, and then Shotzi Blackheart seems to be like, well, she's our, what was it they called it again for Halloween Havoc? She's our, not host, but Bauer.
Did they call her? I can't remember. Oh, they called her something. Like mistress of ceremonies or something?
Yeah, she's something like that. So, yeah, there's a lot that happened. I assume we're going to get Grimes and Dexter Loomis. Maybe at Halloween Havoc. What did you think of all this main event shenaniganry?
Yeah, this was the match I was looking forward to the least. Because, like, I like Dexter Loomis and his creepy thing, but it's kind of one note. Like, I mean, even Johnny Gargano even said earlier in the show, right? Like, you draw pictures and you stare at people and you kidnapped a guy. And I'm like, I'm glad that we're calling attention to the fact that he's an actual kidnapper. Like, because I was more interested in, like, remembering the time that Roderick Strong was afraid of Trunks during this match than I was interested in watching Damian Priest wrestle Dexter Loomis. Like, I started wondering if Roderick Strong is able to, like, get the groceries or if that gives him too much PTSD and, like, maybe he has to drive a hatchback now and, like, can't have a car with a trunk. This was what was going through my mind. And then I was like, oh, right, this wrestling match is still happening. But it did pick up toward the end because I enjoy Cameron Grimes quite a lot. You know how I feel about Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes is just delightful. And as much as I don't necessarily want to see Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Loomis, I would like to see Cameron Grimes beat Dexter Loomis. So that's something I can get into. And I thought some of the shenanigans at the end, Damian Priest not knowing that Cameron Grimes had gotten involved to cost Dexter Loomis, I thought was a good touch. So, you know, Damian Priest kind of beating up Cameron Grimes afterwards with the chair and then Johnny Gargano coming out to attack. It's weird that we're going back to both Candice versus EO and Johnny Gargano versus Damian Priest, but I really liked Johnny Gargano versus Damian Priest at TakeOver, so I think they can probably win me over again. I'm not mad about it.
Is it bad that I really just want Johnny Gargano to beat Damian Priest and win the title?
I also want that. I really, really do.
Are we saying that, though, because Damian Priest just isn't for us? I don't know.
Maybe. I think he's getting better. Like, I'm less uninterested, I guess, but I can't say that I'm, like, full-on interested in Damian Priest yet.
I feel like if I could have, like, an amalgamation of AEW and NXT, it would be, like, my favorite wrestling show. Like, mm-hmm. Give me, like, MJF and Jericho and Cody Orange Cassidy and the Garganos and the women's stuff on NXT and, you know, and give me all of it together.
Our Lord and Savior Shotzi Blackheart.
She can just host the whole thing. Like, it'd be a great show.
I love her howl.
God bless her. But I thought NXT was a good show this week. We're building towards Halloween Havoc. I have a lot of high expectations about the set. I really do.
Yes, very much. Well, if they're bringing back Spin the Wheel, Make a Deal, you know that they're going to go all out for the set.
If I don't see a big fucking pumpkin...
There will be a big pumpkin. Okay. There has to be a big pumpkin.
Good.
I don't want to deal with you if there's not a big pumpkin, so there has to be a big pumpkin.
True. And if there's not one, you can just superimpose one on, because you can do that, right? You know graphics and stuff.
Sure.
Cool. Okay. Good. So either way, that's what I'm going to get. anyway. But yeah, so that's it for us this week. We should actually
mention... I loved NXT. Like, NXT I thought was way better than AEW, and AEW was supposed to be this big, epic anniversary show, but this was one of my favorite NXTs in a while.
I feel like both shows for me were kind of on a similar level, but only because I'm not really into Damian Priest, so the main event was fine, but I felt quite bored by the main event, because I didn't really... Like, Dexter Loomis, I feel like it's half pregnant. Like, is he going to kill somebody or not?
Or is he going to draw them?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Do one or the other. But the women's stuff and the Killian Dane and Drake Maverick stuff and the Garganos were great. So, but yeah, I thought both shows were good. For me, there wasn't, like, a clear winner. I thought they were both good shows. So, we should very quickly mention that there was a small outbreak of COVID from the collective weekend from GCW. I bet you're glad you didn't go now, Sandra.
Yeah. I am glad that I didn't go now. It sucks. It sucks that some of the wrestlers tested positive, and, like, I don't know how many fans in the crowd have tested positive after the weekend, but I think it's impossible to, like, protect yourself 100% from COVID, especially, like, the rapid testing that they do is not incredibly accurate and all that stuff. There's a whole lot, I don't know, like, I have very complicated feelings about it, because I guess the question is, like, should wrestling shows be running at all right now? The answer is probably no. I still feel like the collective was a lot safer than other places that I know that have run shows, wrestling or otherwise. It does seem like they were enforcing masks and enforcing distancing and all that kind of stuff. But there were some things on the show that made me queasy, right? Like the only show I actually watched was Big Gay Brunch. And there was a moment where Pero and Molly McCoy were brawling, and they brawl like up into the crowd, like up into the stands. And I was like, that doesn't make me very happy. Like, it seems like the talent should stay away from the fans and not be in the crowd. And then they have things like the Twink Gauntlet or, you know, big multi-man matches where there are a lot of people all kind of like touching and being all together. So I don't know. It's hard to say, because you don't want to say like everything has to be on hold for another year or so, right? Like, it's hard. People need to work and they need to make a living, and they need to, some of them just like really want to wrestle because they miss it, you know? So I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts after the collective?
I feel like there's going to be some people who are just going to, and I'm not saying you're doing this, I know you're not, but some people are just going to pile on them and just be like, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, I've seen a lot of piling on in Pitchforks online, and I've seen some people who are in the crowd saying like, hey, you weren't here. They were doing things as safely as they could.
Yeah, it's like, the thing is, it's you. I'm pretty sure, I know that Brett Lauderdale, is that his name? Brett Lauderdale, who's mm-hmm. the kind of guy who runs GCW. He'd done an interview with Fightful with Sean Ross Sapp, and I'm sure Sean will probably talk about it on Monday Night Live. But he had sort of said that, like, you know, they did everything they could. They tried to do it the best way they could. So I think they did. I think they did everything they could do. But like, you can't control everything. And I think the other thing to bear in mind is that, like, it's very easy if you are a person, I mean the general, you're not like you, the listener, but like if you're a person who has a job that wasn't really affected by COVID, or you're in the UK and you got furloughed and you're fine, it's easy to kind of go, well, you should just wait and stay at home. Like, what are these people supposed to do? Like, their job, the way they make their money, the way they make a living, is to wrestle or to promote or to whatever. So like, they've waited till October to do it, and they've done it as safely as they can. Like, and you know, Brett talked about how a lot of people who came, most people who came to the show were people from Indiana, mm-hmm. who were just coming to the show. So it's like, yeah, I think it was going to be impossible for them to do this, and for there to not be a slight flare up somewhere.
Did we find out like how many people tested positive with this? Because like, I know a couple specific wrestlers or, you know, people who have put it out there that either they're getting tested or have tested positive and don't have symptoms.
I don't think there's been a number, no.
Because it doesn't sound like it's, I mean, it's definitely not everybody. Because some of the rhetoric I hear is like, there's been such an outbreak. And there is. Like, I mean, you will call it an outbreak for sure. But it's not like the entire locker room and everyone who was there is testing positive for COVID. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm like, I think it's just one of those things where like they're just trying to make a living and keep doing their jobs. And like, I mean, like, I'm lucky because I'm lucky because during a pandemic I was able to start two new businesses and they're going all right. So that's good. But not everybody's as lucky as that. So, you know, if I didn't have any other business apart from doing live events, then, and there was a chance and there was a way that I could do them and try and do them really safely, I probably would have done them by now and tried to do it safely. So I just think it's, the Pitchfork thing just isn't really helpful, but
well, yeah. And it's about trying to adapt, right? Like, I mean, having very limited capacity, which, I mean, I listened to the interview with Fightful, and Indiana didn't mandate that they had the reduced capacity that they had. That was what they wanted to do going forward to be safe. Like, is it concerning that they didn't require a negative test for people to be on the show, and that they didn't require a negative test in a certain time frame? Yes. Like, we don't know what to do, right? Like, nobody knows what to do right now. And there's no right way to handle everything, because this pandemic just kind of sucks, like, a lot.
True. But luckily, Sondra, you know what to do, and that's give people the plugs before we leave.
I can do that. Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at SondraRuthITR. Follow me on Instagram at SondraRuth. You can follow Kenny on Twitter and Instagram at KennyMCITR. Follow Inside the Ropes on Twitter and Instagram at Inside_the_Ropes. And honestly, you guys, like, if you could follow us on Instagram, we don't have like as big of a following there, and it would be really super helpful if you could go over there and follow Inside the Ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we get to a certain number of followers, then we can get more like Instagram features to use. And so I just wanted to make like special mention of that, that if you want to support us and what we do here, that would be really super helpful. ITRWrestling.com is our website for all of the things, where you can find news, you can find podcasts, or you might be listening to this podcast on ITRWrestling.com right now. If you're not, if you're listening to it on our podcast feed, then please go to ITR Wrestling and check it out and see what we're doing.
One day early.
One day early is where you will get this podcast on ITR Wrestling. So if you're like, I need Kenny and Sandra to be in my ear holes sooner, then that's where to find us.
What a choice of phrase.
I'm just saying. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes is the best way to support us. Your direct support really has kept this podcast going during COVID times, like before Kenny decided to start two new businesses and things. This is pretty much all we had. And you also get tons of bonus content. You get Retro ITR with Kenny and me in the year 2000, revealing that Rikishi ran over Stone Cold Steve Austin, and also Eddie Guerrero cheated on China. And I'm like super all in on the retro train right now. So I think the episodes we've been watching have been really, really fun, and I think they've spawned some good discussion too. So I'm having a blast with that. You also get bonus content from Kenny and Finn. There's a Power Slam overrun where they go through old issues of Power Slam, not old episodes of Power Slam. It's a magazine. But tons of bonus content on Patreon, and your support there means the world to us. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes is where you can find interviews and clips from live events. There was just a clip that went up yesterday of Mick Foley talking about CM Punk, working with him, pushing for CM Punk and Samoa Joe in 2004 when he worked with Ring of Honor, and then whether or not he thinks CM Punk will wrestle again. So YouTube videos over there, if you can like, subscribe, do all of the things there so the algorithm is happy with us and shows our videos to more people so that we can just kind of spread the wrestling love and goodness, that would be wonderful. And InsideTheRopesMagazine.com is where you can go to subscribe or get individual issues of Inside the Ropes magazine that Kenny and I both, you know, contribute to and put a lot of hard work into. And I don't know, it's just so pretty. And there's a crossword.
If you're not going to buy it after that sale, I don't know when you will. So that's all the plugs. Make sure to join us next week for more. Thank you very much for all your support, everybody. Really appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Psst, psst, hey, Kenny. Kenny.
Hey, Kenny.
Oh,
Kenny.
Kenny. Ollie? KJ?
Can you hear us?
Oh, my God. What?
Hi. That was a really good podcast, by the way.
Yeah, I really like listening to your podcast. Kenny,
thank you. I've only done 4,000 of them to try and get good at it.
Kenny,
shouldn't you guys be recording Thunder right now? Pod of Thunder?
Kenny, yeah. just want to ask you a question. Ask him.
Kenny, this Thunder is getting really tough. I don't know. I don't think we can do this anymore.
Almost like I warned you.
Do you mind if we come onto this side of the wall?
Yeah, we could have a coming out party.
you're going to have a coming out party, Ollie. Finally, let's alert CNN for the breaking news. Move over coronavirus. Ollie is finally admitting that he's a poof.
What? No, I mean coming out behind the paywall.
Yeah.
Oh, not that there's anything wrong with being gay, Ollie. I support it.
Yeah, we just want to talk some current stuff. Do you mind?
Can we please have a chance?
I mean, you've already had a written warning for actually doing a couple of episodes of it current stuff when you're contracted to do Pod of Thunder. Do I think I've not seen not Pod of Thunder? Then you've just done your third one of those. Look, if you guys come out behind the paywall and you know you have to curb all the jokes, no Marty Jannetty stuff, no he who shall not be named with the crossface. You have to go legit. You have to be like Kings of Leon when they had Sex is on Fire. You need to go mainstream.
Yeah, we'll do anything that you want,
Kenny.
Anything. Just let us out from behind this paywall. We want to have a coming out party so bad.
Stop saying it like that.
Okay, I am here to facilitate. You can have one chance. The time has come for you to podcast for your life. Two queens sit before me. Ironic. The only thing left for me to say, don't fuck it up. All right,
Ollie, this is it. This is the big reveal. What we are about to tell the people is going to blow everyone's mind.
I can't believe that Kenny has let us out from behind the paywall, but we are finally here on ITRWrestling.com every Sunday at 9 o'clock p.m. UK time. The Wrestling Roast.
The Wrestling Roast. It's a very simple concept that Ollie and I came up with. It's basically we watch the wrestling of that week, and we make fun of it.
Yeah, pretty much. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, any other random stuff that we watch during the week. But
pay-per-views.
Pay-per-views, exactly. But the catch is, you're like, oh, that just sounds like another review show. No, it's not another review show because we only have 30 minutes to do it. So we're gonna have a clock, and it's gonna count down. And once that buzzer hits zero, we have to stop talking. Even if we're in the middle of something, even if there's something that we wanted to talk about that we didn't get to, once that buzzer hits, once the clock's run out, we have to stop.
So we're on a time crunch, folks, and we have to get all the information that we can out to you guys within that 30 minutes time. And you know, it's a race. It's a race. It's a game that we're playing with ourselves and our lives. And everything's at stake here, Ollie. And oh my God, I feel the pressure already. Oh my God.
Calm down. It's okay. It's okay. Now, for people who don't know who we are, which probably most of you, right? Because we've been Kenny McIntosh's dirty secret hidden behind the paywall on Patreon. I'm Ollie Osatian. I make Kenny McIntosh look good. That's my profession. And this gentleman here is KJ. Formerly,
I'm KJ.
Formerly the Kayfabe Jobber. KJ.
Formerly the KJ. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your road into Inside the Ropes.
Well, Ollie, I must say it was a glorious road because I bumped into you guys in a bar in Orlando, Florida. And we weren't friends then. And then we met again in New York, and I still didn't like you guys much. But you took me on, and you allowed me to join you on that Shawn Michaels tour. And that is where this beautiful, blossoming, budding friendship began. And Inside the Ropes has been so kind to me to allow me to do this podcast.
Pretty much you've told that in a way that makes it seem that we wanted you around. You're like the bad smell that doesn't go away, KJ.
That's pretty much what I am,
you,
really.
You and, linger. You know, linger.
Yeah. You'd know all about that, wouldn't you? Lingering smells. And
that's quite rude, quite nasty.
Well, this is what you expect from the Wrestling Roast. We're not going to be very kind about things, so that's kind of the premise of the show. But yeah, Ollie and I, we started our journey together as podcasters. Well, you podcasted before me, but
exactly.
I like to pretend that didn't happen.
Exactly. In case you don't know, we unfortunately review Thunder every week on Inside
WCW
the
Thunder.
WCW Thunder. So we are
the
used
dark
to
years.
The darkest of the dark years. So I mean, check that out on Patreon. It's worth the subscription just to hear us go through torture and pain. But finally, we've put in our, what would you call it? We've put in our penance. And now
we've put in a shift.
We put in
a shift and
fucking
a half.
Shift, and we are finally free. So we would like to invite everyone to come along and join us on ITRWrestling.com every Sunday. We're gonna roast the week in wrestling.
So Ollie and I watch pretty much everything that happens in wrestling the week, and we do love a lot. Like, don't get us wrong, we do enjoy a ton of wrestling.
Yeah,
don't get
misled by the name, like Wrestling Roast. You always like, oh, it's just gonna be this negative podcast that's making fun of people. No, it's gonna be a fun podcast because we love wrestling.
It's a fun we love wrestling, but you can't ignore that there are certain things in wrestling today that are awful, and that's what we want to talk about. So yeah, we're going to call you out on your bad wrestling, but we're going to compliment the good stuff as well. So
absolutely. So yeah, so I feel like that's our preview. Hey, Ollie, KJ, do a preview. All right, we did it. That's the preview.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, so join us this and every Sunday, ITRWrestling.com.
9 p.m. BST.
BST. What time is that in America? I don't know. Google it.
Yeah, we have no idea. You guys have 4 time zones. We can't keep up.
Yeah, exactly.
I live in the desert. We don't have clocks yet. My hourglass says it's 7:30.
Oh, and if you've listened to Queen Street Posse, they actually stole our tagline, so I'm quite upset at that. The tagline is "Everybody welcome," and that's how they ended their podcast. So yeah, so not everybody welcome because that's their thing now.
So even though you're not welcome here, We need you.
No, they are welcome. No, they are welcome, but we can't say that they're welcome because the Queen Street Posse stole the thing that said that they're welcome. So yeah. Everybody's welcome, but that's their thing now because they stole it because their podcast went out before us. But it even says it on our logo. So it's like everybody is welcome, but we're not stealing it from them. But we came up with it.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. So, oh, how about this?
What?
How about this?
What?
Everybody's welcome to our Sunday roast.
Oh, love it. Eat your roast while listening to the roast. The wrestling
there
roast.
You go.
Love it.
There you go. There okay. you go. So cool. Everybody's welcome to Sunday's roast.
Yeah, so join us every Sunday for the wrestling roast. And I have been Ollie. This has been KJ. And we will see you on Sunday.
Happy roasting, everybody.